right, everybody. Thanks for joining us again today for FinOps Fridays. My name's Hunter Willis, and today I've got Ashley Romacco with us. She is the I&O FinOps product lead at Corteva. Ashley, introduce yourself. Say hi. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Good to see you, Hunter. Yep. I've been at Corteva here about a year and a half. If you're not familiar with Corteva, they're a big ag science company. If you're familiar with Pioneer, the seed brand, we do a lot of that, and then crop production as well.
All right. Great. And thanks again for joining us today. You have been in this space for quite a while, and I'm looking forward to asking you a bunch of questions. But we're going to start with our rapid fire questions to get to know you a little bit better. So, Ashley, are you a Mac or PC person?
I am a Mac.
And Android or Apple?
Apple.
And that makes sense, right? Chat or email?
Email.
Okay. And Slack or Teams?
Slack.
Meetings online or in person?
In person, because I like a good whiteboard.
All right, nice. Yeah, I can relate to that. Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Coffee or tea?
Black coffee.
All right. Spring or fall?
Oh, it's hard because we're in fall. I would say fall.
Okay. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pancakes or waffles? That's a tough one, too.
Pancakes.
Not for you, though. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
And when you go on vacation, you like to go to the beach, go to the mountains, or maybe take a tour of a town somewhere or something like that.
I like to be as busy as possible, so tour.
All right. And are you introverted or extroverted more, do you think?
I think both.
Okay. All right. I feel people think I'm extroverted because I'm like, I got this energy, but I hit, you know, feel like people have exactly, there's like this limit, right?
Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us today and really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to learning from what you've got to say. We had a really good conversation before this call and we've met a couple of times in the past and I've seen some of your presentations. So thanks again also for being so active in the community. So the first question I want to ask you, we talked about how you have experienced a lot of different things in your time, both with the FinOps Foundation and different organizations that you've worked in the FinOps practitioner role. And you've recently switched, right, from a cloud that you're super, super familiar with to one that you haven't really worked with that much in the past. But it's kind of like, you're talking to me, this kind of like reset your perspective a little bit and you're revisiting FinOps from a knowledge perspective about the cloud that you're working with. But I'd be willing to bet that a lot of the principles stay the same. Can you talk about how things are different and how you're approaching this with your organization?
Yeah, so to give a little backstory, I worked for a company called Pearson for about 7.5 years, and they were almost all AWS, so all on AWS. And so my FinOps experience there was, you know, kind of growing up with the company as they were deploying to AWS for the first time. And so I took a little break from that, and now I'm back in a practitioner role. And while I'm interviewing for this job, they're telling me they're almost all Azure. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, I could probably pull that off. I understand, you know, the framework. I understand how to strategically, you know, run a FinOps practice, manage FinOps teams, but that's a totally different cloud provider for me. And so, you know, I think if you understand SQL, understand VMs, like you've got some of the fundamental like infrastructure things, but you're having to really understand the terminology. So that was a big thing for me on day one when I got in here, is getting access and then getting to look at the cloud spend. And I just took my time figuring out what were the biggest services. So like app service wasn't a term I was very familiar with. So just doing as much research as you could do on those services, trying to figure out how that service is the same or different than another kind of service was really important. And I think the bigger thing to that is starting to write, like figure out what are the tactics on those services. So if I'm, you know, thinking of, you know, Azure databases, like I'm meeting with my Azure database team or my rep and saying, what would be the first five things you would do for easy wins? What would be the next five things? So just trying to keep kind of a, I call it like a tactic model or like a catalog for that burger on how you can tune it up and down. But that was a lot of learning, and I'm doing that every day. Like I feel like I've made it through our top, you know, maybe 12 spending services. And now I'm kind of getting into the weeds on things that we don't spend a lot of money on. But really trying to understand it end to end. And, you know, just again, those levers, what do you dial up and what do you dial down that impacts cost?
Well, and you've got to stay on top of it too. So it's provided you this new kind of research project to get on top of everything that's happening immediately with the two, because, you know, things like the data, the kind of data that you can get for different services, even cost data changes, as well as like what services are available and, you know, how you can optimize them and things like that, right?
Yeah, and those have definitely been moments where I've like not caught something and I was like, oh, kind of upset with myself. I didn't catch that, but I didn't know that service yet. But I always tell myself, well, there was no one in this role before. So me catching something now is better than not being caught at all.
Yeah, for sure. And how is this role like different than operationally than what you were doing before, especially as like FinOps has changed over the years, right?
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting. I think I have a lot of people ask me advice in the community, like, oh my gosh, you went back into FinOps. Like, what is that like? Or like, what's it like switching companies? And, you know, it's really nothing like I thought. And when I say that, it's like the fundamentals is there, but every single like FinOps job you're in is going to have different nuances to it. So some of the major differences, you know, when I was at my previous company, I had a team. I had like, you know, 8-9 people, pretty large cloud spend. We were able to divide up tasks. I'm a one person team here. So I have to think differently about how I approach my time, how much time I can give to certain situations. If it's going to give that ROI back or not, because it's just me. There's other things like the other company I work for insourced a lot of their IT. This is a very big outsource IT. And so there's things of, well, I could in my previous job find something and put it on someone's, you know, Jira ADO backlog and there would go. Here it's finding the right contact that might put something on MSP's backlog, and that backlog I might or might not have visibility to, right? And so that's been the biggest element is, you know, being a one-person team, working more with MSPs and a different cloud provider. But there's a lot of elements that are still the same. Rate negotiations are still rate negotiations. People want visibility into their cloud. Executive reports want reports, right? So there's a lot of elements that are the same too.
Has it been easy getting buy-in for like the kind of, because again, you're kind of new kid on the block coming in here with a new FinOps practice and leaning in. What has that been like as far as operationalizing FinOps for the organization and these MSPs that you're working with?
Yeah. So like total different shift where like, I felt like for a year and a half, I was just trying to sell FinOps within the company it was at, right? This is what FinOps is. This is before a definition of FinOps existed, right? This is what it is. This is what I think my team could do if you gave me people to do it. You know, I'm kind of, I'm selling the car before I built the car, right, in my previous role. And now here is very different where there's just been an abundant amount of understanding about what FinOps is. Like day one, I walk in and, you know, I talk to the first engineers and they already know what it is. And so that's a big shift too. And so I almost upped the stakes for me though, right? It's no longer selling something they don't have. It is producing something I promised I could produce. And so I had to really quickly, you know, put on that strategic mindset of what is going to be the output in 60 days, 90 days, and where are we going to be at for a year? Because these teams were like hungry. They were ready for that.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that you've been able to scale that up now that, again, you're kind of like, you know, an army of one, so to speak, right? Where you're having to come, there's like automation and AI that you're using to make that happen as part of this. And like, are they leaning in on any AI use cases themselves? We're kind of like, there's this balance between like AI for FinOps and FinOps for AI, but are you looking at tools to automate some of these capabilities as you're leaning into the practice?
Yeah. So a couple of things, like on the people side of things, I totally took this from Fidelity, which is to create champions, right? And so that was taking the learnings of what I learned working at the foundation and talking to a bunch of teams, how they created champion programs. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, that's never going to work. But it's been really successful here. Like day one, I talked to the leadership team. There was a group of six different leaders. And I said, I need you to give me a FinOps champion. And they did. They assigned that out. And that's been someone I've been able to collaborate and start to learn the products from. I've been able to understand the culture better, the workflow better. So the people side, putting that champion program in has been really big. And that's evolved for, I had six people to like, now I've got 15 different people, right, involved. As far as AI, like, I think it's a little early for us. I've used a lot personally, right? Like I kind of gave this example to you, like I used to get all these estimate requests and all the time and, you know, being a one-person team, I can't sit there and do estimates all day long. So I've used a lot of AI to help me create a baseline estimate. And of course, I kind of check it and make sure it makes sense. And then also train the trainer. So train them how to do that as well. As far as the AI thing, we're starting to work a little bit with like an AI chat. So like the most common questions that I get, can we get that answered through an AI chat versus, again, one person? I can't have everybody ask me where the forecast is or ask me, how do I get an Azure account and things like that. So that is evolving, just that interface of having that. But then also been as a FinOps person, we've been tied in more to, you know, our AI spend. So I'm tracking that AI spend. I'm reaching out to the teams to figure out what they're doing with the AI spend. And so that's been a new area of kind of being an early adapter of like learning our spend and reporting that back. And then we've been trying to make some governance decisions off of what we find. So,
and has that like, have you been able to work with champions within the engineering teams, and are you operationalizing kind of the optimization of resources and the spend, you know, as you're looking at, you know, you mentioned governance there, but like,
yeah.
I'm more curious on as to how you're working from a process perspective with the engineering team to get them to consider optimization and like review existing resources for optimization of cost and performance and commitment.
That's a good question. Yeah. So I was like a big fan of like business cases. So you like look at an application and you go through and you say, you can optimize the Windows, the SQL, the licensing, right? You're like writing a whole playbook for that one app. Switched to a little bit here of where we're collectively optimizing the same services at the same time. So starting with log analytics, there was not really a rule set involved in how long do we keep log analytics for prod or non-production. So set up what that governance should be and then communicate to the teams. And then we have our baseline. And then as teams are making that adjustment, we're seeing that dollar go down. Same thing recently happened with unattached disks. So we don't think we should have unattached disks, but what if someone needs it? What's the exception to do that? Create our baseline report. And then I email all the unattached disks out to the teams that have it. And the reason I like doing that is because it gives me every quarter, I focus on one or two cost initiative. And what you get to see is one service, not just go down by 1%, 3%, but one service go down by 20, 30%, right? So that's been a little bit of a shift. I think once we get through this initial wave of, you know, setting up these best practices and going after a service at a time across the org, I'll get back to the business cases and going like application by application.
I like in our conversations before too, and the communications we had before this episode, I really enjoy that you're a person that seems to really like to measure anything that you are even thinking about. I've just been noticing this in the conversation that we've had, and it's really cool to see that, right? Because there's a way to measure almost all of this stuff, no matter what you're doing. Even the communication itself is almost like, how many touch points do we have, right? Like, so I wanted to ask you what that implementation, you know, can you talk a little bit more about governance implementation for the engineers? And are there policies that you have from a proactive step before this stuff begins, right? And how are you able to communicate that out to those teams?
Yeah, it's a good question. I love metrics. I think like, not saying you shouldn't start something without a metric, but if you don't know how you're going to measure it, you know, you probably should figure that out before you start, you know, trying to move the needle on it. And I have these, you know, executive reports I have to do every quarter. So I always like to, you know, share that up and then, you know, also like lift up the teams that did it too. But, you know, so operational from a policy standpoint. So I'll give you an example. We recently had kind of a big spike on an AI search and it was kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, well, one, we need that service to be have some type of alert threshold. It was a new service for us. And two, I question why anybody should be building AI unless they've kind of been through an EA review or should we just let everyone be able to use any AI services? So we've got a policy going through that's going to take certain services that are AI and basically lock them down to, let's say, the 25 accounts that are already using it. So that means if somebody else comes in and wants to use those services, it's not like we're saying you can't use it. It's just, it's a pause and let's like have a conversation what you're doing so we can update our estimate. And there might be a case where we're even finding within the company, you have two teams kind of building the same AI solution, right? So can they collaborate? So I think that's an example of like, we're putting in the guardrails that we're not going to let everybody build every AI, you know, project that they want to do, but when they try to do it, they'll say, oh, something's wrong. And they'll reach out to the cloud engineering team and say, hey, I can't deploy AI search. What's going on? Well, we probably need to make sure you went through an EA review for the thing that you're wanting to build. And so there's been a lot of collaboration between FinOps, EA, cloud engineering, and security. We talked a lot about kind of setting up a policy board. And so I think that'll probably be kind of our next step to do.
One of the episodes that I had here recently, they talked about setting up like an actual, they had a AI center of excellence that they'd set up, right? Like almost in the form of a committee. Are there other strategic steps you're taking towards measuring AI as it's coming out? Because this is kind of, it almost feels like what cloud was like 10 or 15 years ago, where it's like
yeah.
New thing out, everybody's trying to use it, but there's not a handle on it yet. How do we prevent another framework from being the next cleanup project for the insanity that could happen from this, right?
Yeah. So at a high level, we have an AI board, and then we have an AI lead. So like a FinOps lead, we have an AI lead. So we've been collaborating quite a bit. Originally, when I started doing some showback. So taking successful tokens per API call, and then also tracking the dollar spend. And that was a really interesting project that I did because I found a lot of people were using the API keys for their own POCs. But some of them were actually using them for real products. And so we started to separate what is like fun AI and what is product AI that's happening. And then also within that, trying to start to get from them to collect some information about like users or usage. So I had one application that they were piloting 100 users and it was costing X dollars. And it was a little sticker shock that it cost that much because, you know, take that number divided by 100. It was a little kind of expensive for what it was. And so that was really good because I actually had a lot of teams say, wow, I didn't even know what this was costing or how can we get this in a dashboard? And so that was a good project. And the interesting thing is like AI is evolving so much too. So like while I was doing stuff with, you know, tokens, now you have AI Foundry that's coming out. And AI Foundry, you know, is promising kind of this metrics dashboard that you're going to get. So now let's say we figure out AI. Now you'd start to deal with like this pockets of, well, the AI as a platform, how many teams are you going to have do AI as a platform? Does our IT team have AI? Does our research team have AI? Does this other group have AI? So now if I have five groups doing AI, what are the best practices that I want them to use? Well, I want you to use these tags. I want all of this to feed into this log analytics, no matter where it's coming from, right? So now we're having those conversations about how much are you federating or centralizing AI? And if you're going to federate it, then you better have good guardrails in place and you better have a committee where the, you know, federated teams can come to and ask the centralized teams for advice and input. And so we're early days, but we're figuring it out as we go, just like cloud, you know, many years ago.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, stuff costs money, right? Like, we've got to understand it. That's good. What are some of the challenges that you've had in like measuring all of that beyond, so we're talking more about the operational side of it, but from, you know, more the nuts and bolts and getting into the technical just a little bit, like what are some of the challenges and differences that you've seen with getting a hold of the cost information around AI versus cloud?
Yeah. So I think for us, as we decided to put an APIM layer, so an API key layer above it. And so there was a lack of display name. So every display name said OpenAI, OpenAI 2, you know, it was like very generic. And so it was hard for me to know what these were. So I had to reach out. I actually went through reaching out. I think it was close to 50 some people that had an API key. And I asked, what are you doing with the key? Like literally a Slack message, you know, what are you doing with that key? And what are you using it for? And it was just collecting their feedback. So I put it in a spreadsheet and said, this key is used for POC. This key is used for this product. This key is being shared by this team. That seems like a, you know, no. So, you know, I think that was kind of a fun project where you just kind of get to like ask a lot of questions and investigate what's going on. And then, you know, from there, it kind of was like, okay, we should probably ask these questions up front, not after we've spent the dollar. So that's one thing. The other thing that has come out of that is just like making sure you have the right properties enabled from the platform to emit those tokens out. And then if you're collecting those tokens, you have to have your billing data pulled in next to those tokens. So trying to go through that logistics of that. So, I still think AI costs, I mean, people might not like me saying this. It's just like any other like cloud costs. You just have to figure out what the metric is, how it's being measured, how it's going up, how it's going down, and compare it to the dollar and tell a story, right?
For me, there's so many parallels between what goes on in the cloud and like the way that records managers think for like documents and documentation of everything, having like tons of tags and metadata and having a life cycle and having to like adhere to a taxonomy and be structured and all this stuff. And I always think back, like, I feel like that's a persona that we don't reach out to as a community that can have a lot of insight about not technology itself, but just the mentality of a taxonomy and life cycles and all these different things. And like, how would you approach it if you had a document that you had to keep track of? Exactly.
And we've done a little bit of that too. Like, oh, this is, you know, highly confidential. This is internal, right? Like you do some of that, you know, security classification. So we should be doing some of the lifecycle classification too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an amazing approach, Ashley. Do you have anything else that you would say that you've learned as you've stepped back into being a practitioner here over the past close to 2 years now, right? Piece of advice for people that are really just starting to get their fingers deep into FinOps here as they're getting going, or even maybe like a mature practitioner, some encouragement for as they're moving down the road and maturing their practice?
Yeah, I think people were kind of surprised that I went back into an enterprise and doing FinOps again, but the job's still fun. It's still challenging every day. I am getting to do stuff with licensing and on-prem. And I think if you've been a FinOps practitioner for a long time, just know that like your brain is wired in this different way. And so you using that to apply to on-prem and licensing is going to be challenging, but it's your expertise is going to infuse such a difference in the way that we've traditionally been thinking about that thing. So I guess my advice to you all is keep pushing through it. If you're new to FinOps or you want to become a FinOps lead or things like that, like the vast amount of documentation that's out here that wasn't here before is just incredible. And I just kind of tell people like the assessment, baseline where you're at today, set some goals and get to those goals. Like that's just push through it that way.
All right. Great. Well, Ashley, thank you so much again for your time. Really appreciate it. This was a wonderful conversation. I feel like we touched on a lot of different things, but got some really good insights into the experience that you've had here. Everybody, information can be found at finops.org. You can also check out other FinOps Fridays podcasts. Ashley, anything else before we sign off here?
No, thanks for having me. I think I was a guest quite a few years ago, and it's nice to be back again. So I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care. And everybody, we'll see you next time.